book of Genesis, we're talking about what's going on there in Joseph's life, and that has been a tremendous to me. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, teaching them from that area of scripture. But we're going to take our Bibles and turn over to Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to start in verse number 27 as we pick it up, and hopefully I will get to the end of this chapter. There's so many things that we could talk about tonight, but I do want to talk about some things I pray that will be a blessing to you. Is everyone there? Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 27. I read the first verse. You guys will read the even. I'll read the odd, and we'll read the even together as we read those four verses that are actually here. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I might hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of petition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here be in me. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessing. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight, and how we pray that you will continue to work in our midst, as we have already petitioned our hearts and our desires to you, asking that you would work in a special way. But as we come to the Word of God tonight, I pray that you would do just the same and work in our hearts and our lives, that we might again leave here encouraged, strengthened, and blessed from hearing from you, that you might speak to our hearts in a special way. Again, we lift those up that are not here tonight for whatever the reasons may be, especially as we think of our pastor. We pray you continue to work and bless. Guide now in a special way. Fill me with your spirit, empty me of myself, and forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you would want said and done here tonight. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, don't you guys remember the last, it was a Sunday night, we talked about some things from the book of Philippians. Anybody remember what it was that, well, I just kind of was my jumping or starting point that we talked about the last time that we met and we looked in the book of Philippians? Anybody remember what that was? No, it's chapter. We're still in chapter 1. Rose? No, it wasn't be strong in the Lord and power his might. But we actually talked about how Paul here, we've already talked about the different things that are going on in each chapter, right? But I talked about the confidence that Paul wanted us to have, the confidence that Paul had in what God was doing, not only in his life, but in the life of the Philippians. We talked about the football players, as we were thinking about, Monday night, or thinking about the football players that was going. Denver had their kicker. He was have the confidence to go and kick a field goal. And many of the football kickers this year are having a lot of problems with the extra points or kicking the field goals and making points when their teams get into position and they don't have any I don't know whether it's because of confidence or don't have the ability. Amen? But confidence is something that would help us to live the Christian life. And that's what Paul had. And Paul was confident in what God was doing in these people's lives at Philippi. Tonight, I want to just think about this for me tonight. How many of y'all could think back to your life before you got saved and think about the style of things that were going on in your life, whether it be clothes that you wore or the lifestyle you used to live and the things that you used to do before you got saved? I thought about asking Miss White to come out and pick out her afro and I pick out mine and put on my bell bottoms and high heel platform shoes. And that was a style that we wore when I was unsaved or before my BC days. And that was a style that we were accustomed to wearing. And I believe that every one of us, as we look around, there was a style that we had or things that we did that kind of was the style of what was going on in our lives at those times. And I think about even tonight, I believe that when Paul is talking about their conversation, Paul wanted them to understand that they were in Rome, or they were under the Roman government, and they were citizens of Rome. But now when you think about the Christian life, Paul wanted them to think about what their Christian life was like, because when you think about those things and you think about styles, there's some things that need to change because they're now a Christian. And the style of life that they used to live, they shouldn't live that style anymore. But notice what he says in verse number 27. As we think about it, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And I believe sometimes we as Christians, we have to understand that our style or way of doing things and the way we used to live, it needs to change, because there ought to be something different about us as Christians. We could harp on the fact that we most of the time we think about our clothing. Amen. That's why I think about when I was growing up, I used to wear the platform heels and the bell bottoms and had the big afro. And, you know, Miss White had her afro. And we used to go sometimes and places, and we would take pictures, and we had to get the two afros in the same picture. That's how big they were. And I don't think we could do that now. My hair won't grow like that, and neither would hers probably do that anymore. But the style of what we were doing. But he says, now let your conversation, in other words, your conversation or your lifestyle ought to be different, and it ought to be that of becoming of the gospel. When people see you, what do they see in you now? What is it that's going on? And there's many things that we could go back and look at when we think about the Christian life and the things or the stages of life that they were going through. I want you to think about it tonight. When you became a Christian, that you became a son or a daughter in the family of God. Amen. And that hasn't changed. Amen. You think about it, not only did you become a son or a daughter, but you became a servant. And as a servant of God, you ought to be doing everything that you can, just like Paul was, for the furtherance of the gospel. And not only do we see that they were sons and daughters, or you're a son of God, but you're also a servant of God, but you're also a soldier of God. And sometimes you're going to be faced with some trials. You're going to be faced with some things, just like Paul was in his life. And he's trying to encourage them now that even though you're going to go through some of the things that I did as a Christian, but as a soldier in the faith of the gospel, you're going to have to do something that I believe that Paul wanted them to see. And there's a style now that we need to look at. And what Paul is talking about, look with me at verse number 27, and it kind of set the stage as to what I want to talk about tonight. He says, but only let your conversation be as it becometh of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I might hear of your affairs, that ye what? Stand fast in what? One spirit with what? One mind, striving together for the what? For the faith of the what? The faith of the gospel. Paul wanted them to have a style now that was going to be different. You got to be able to stand for the gospel. How do we stand today when it comes to standing for the gospel? How is our life portraying that of a Christian or for the furtherance of the gospel? You know, y'all have heard it said many times that some of us are the books that only people will ever read when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the Bible. And they look at our lives. So our lifestyle, he's saying here, our conversation is our everyday life needs to be in such a way that it promotes or it propagates the gospel, that people see the change that is taking place in your life because of who you are. We went back and we looked at Paul was talking about, in spite of all of these things that were going on, in spite of the circumstances that he was in, Paul's whole desire, not only for himself, but I believe for us tonight, is that we do what we do because it helps promote and propagate the furtherance of the gospel, because that's what people need to see. And that's the way we need to be living in spite of that. So he talked about the confidence. We talked about last time the devotion that Paul had, and we won't go back and look at that. Paul was not only showed his devotion in these previous verses, but he showed us the last time the dilemma that or the death. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He talked about his death. He talked about the dilemma that he was in. When we look at verses 24 and 25, he says, for he was in a dilemma. He wanted to be with Christ, but it was more necessary for him to stay and be with them, because he believed and knew that God was not finished with him. God still had something that he wanted Paul to do. And he was not disappointed that, but he said, for me to live is to live, and to die is Christ. Paul wanted to live but he didn't have any problem with dying either, because it was for the gospel of Christ. And he knew that if he lived and continued to live, he was continue to have a ministry and reaching people and promoting the gospel, and that was okay. And he was going to do that, and was praying that those things would be an encouragement to them. Look at verse 26. It says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He's talking about he's coming to thee again. Verse 25, I have in this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of your faith. Paul knew that he wasn't going to go and be with the Lord because he believed that God still had something that he wanted him to do. So I want us to just think about three things tonight. We're going to talk about tonight. Think about style. How are we going to stand for Christ? He says what? He's telling us in verse 27 that ye may stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the furtherance or for the faith of the gospel. So if our style and standing now needs to change, and what are we to do now when he says to stand fast? I believe one of the things that Paul is talking about here when he's talking about stand fast, I believe we need to have a firm stand when it comes to the things of God. We need to be settled in our own mind what it is that we're going to stand for. In other words, Paul is saying he wants us to be, y'all hear the word being dogmatic? We need to be sold out, solidified, standing true to our Christian faith and our Christian belief, because it is so evident today there's so many things out there that are trying to get people away from the truth of the gospel. You know, probably one of the biggest hindrances in the Christian life is the Christian. People that call themselves Christians and have no idea of living this book or living close to this truth, because most Christians that call themselves Christians today in some respect have no regard for this book. They still want to do things the way that they want to do, and their desire is to get their own way. God didn't ever intend for us to have our own way when it comes to the things of the gospel. God wants us to have a desire to live for him. Notice what it says, if you would, in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, as we would look at that. Because each one of these points that we want to make tonight, we can go to the Bible. And I think what I like so much about Paul is everything that Paul wrote to every one of these churches that he's writing to, it's amazing to me how he covers so many of the same areas, same subjects, but because God inspired him to write, there's so many truths that we can glean from Paul about his writing to understand what he's saying and what he means. Notice what it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. He says that we henceforth be no more what? Children tossed to and fro and carried about with what? With every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. We got to know what we believe and stand firm for it. Do you realize tonight that if we don't stand for something, we'll do what? We'll fall for anything. But we got to believe and know what it is that we believe and what we stand for. We got to believe that this Bible is from God. It's inspired by God. God wants us to live by it. It ought to be what we live by, and it ought to be the thing that change our style of living, because it is so important, not just the clothes we wear, but our conversation and our walk before God ought to match what we're saying to other people. And how we carry ourselves is so important. So we got to be able to stand fast. And he's talking about here is stand firmly. But I believe not only do we need to stand firmly and not toss to and fro about every doctrine and everything that come along. You know, everything that people do today that draw them away from the gospel. You know, you can go to the internet and find anything on the internet. But because you can find it on the internet, and somebody says that they got a doctorate degree, or they believe the Bible says this about this or this about that, you know, it's not always true. So we got to be careful about that. And our society is so indoctrinated by just turning to any and everything. And every time something new come up, we think that we found something new. But you know what? Ain't nothing really changed a whole lot about this Bible if you really study it and live it the way that it ought to. So we got to be dogmatic when it comes to our stand. So we want to stand firmly. But not only do we want to stand firmly, but we want to stand faithfully. In other words, not only do we want to be dogmatic about being firm, but we want to be dogmatic in our faithfulness to God. And the word here speaks of the duration as well as the dogmatism that it's talking about. But it means to stand for something forever. To stand for something forever. Again, when we think about the Apostle Paul, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we look at Paul's stand, because he speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. Because when Paul got to the end of his life, he could speak about how he was faithful to God. Will you be able to say that about your Christian life when it comes to an end? Notice what he says here in verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only me, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In other words, Paul is saying that he was faithful even to death. In other words, he was going to be sold out, or he was sold out, because he's writing to Timothy. He knew that his life was coming to an end. But Paul could say that he had been faithful, and we got to be faithful. You know, it is such a challenge every day, if we be honest with ourselves, to live the Christian life. There's something that comes up in life every day that is challenging us to be faithful. Folks, yeah, you know, I was telling Teresa, I said, you know, I'm almost getting to the point sometimes when I go to work, I just know you're going to be in a dogfight. I get so tired of listening to the cursing, the foul language, and the music. It just drives me up the wall. But I realized that, you know what? It would be so easy to succumb to it and not say anything about it. Would you agree? Because if we don't stand and be faithful to that which we believe, believe me, they will be faithful to that which they believe. And if I'm faithfully standing for the Lord and I want to finish the course that God has laid before me, I got to be faithful to what I believe. I got to be faithful to God every day, because there's a challenge every day for us to be faithful. Paul was faithful in spite of his circumstances. He was faithful to God. Even though he was in prison, Paul was still faithful to God. And he says, stand fast, be firm, but we also need to be faithful to the gospel. When this life is over, we can say that we finished our course. We kept the faith. And there's a crown laid up for me. And Paul is expressing that when we think about him writing to Timothy. So our style here needs to change. You know what we need to change it to? What? To be steadfast. We need to have a style of standing firmly, but we also have a style of standing what? Faithfully. You know, I think about when I go back and look and think about, I talk about them clothes and talk about how we used to dress and how we used to do things and how we used to go places and do things. But you know, I was sold out to that. But when I got saved, I ought to be sold out to living for Jesus Christ. The same way. The very same way. And I look at the ladies here. I look at the men. All of us, whether we believe it or not, every one of us have a style of clothing or style that we kind of cater to with the things that we do, the things that we say, the places that we go, how we conduct ourselves. You know, that's a style in our life that we are accustomed to doing. Every one of us have that. But as the things that I say, the things that I do, the places that I go, the way that I walk, the way that I carry myself, is it promoting the gospel? Is what we have to ask ourselves. Because it ought to promote the gospel. It promoted my worldly lifestyle, the way that I used to live. But my life today now ought to be different. The style of life that I ought to be living ought to be promoting the gospel. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. You think about it, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to him. So our style is important. But I want us to notice something else. Not only did we see his style, but notice how specific he was about this style. The specifics in our standing, or the style that he's pointing to. Look at verse 27 again. He says, let your conversation. In other words, let your conversation or your general behavior ought to be that of the gospel. I think about 1 Peter 3 and verse 5, and it says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. The believer's conduct should be correspondent to what he say just as much as what he does. In other words, our walk ought to match our what? Our talk. Or our talk ought to match our walk. I'm around people every day, and if I called his name, you would know him anyway. But a person that calls themselves a Christian, and every other word that comes out of his mouth is a profanity. The music that he wants to listen to, and he calls himself a Christian, takes me back to my BC days. So why would I want to listen to that? And you say, well, brother, why are you making such a big thing out of that? Because that's the kind of life, that's the kind of things that I'm faced with every day. You know what? The devil will beat you up with it. And what he wants you to do is eventually accept that. But I shouldn't have to accept that. I should be willing to stand for it. If it's not something that I want to listen to, it's not something that I want to be reminded of, I want to let them know, because they let me know what they want to be reminded of, so I need to let them know what I don't want to be reminded of. And I have just as much of a right to be in there in the office. If you want to listen and do those kind of things, then put the headsets on. You listen to what you want to listen to. I like the complete silence because I can take my verse. I can meditate on it. I can think about my devotion. I can do all of those things. But you know what? We got to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We got to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that's within us. Because the hope that's within us is what they really need, whether they believe it or not. Amen. Not only this, but notice what he says also in verse number 27. I believe it's so important here in verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be if it becometh of the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. You know, one of the other things that we not only need to be sanctified when we think about our lifestyle, but we need to be right in society. Notice how he says it here. He says that whether I come and see you or else be absent. You know, one of the hardest things for us as Christians is how we act when we're not around other Christians. It's easy, not say it's easy, but we do okay when we're here at church and around other Christians. But how do we behave when we're not around other Christians? See, that says a lot about the society in which we live. We're so indoctrinated or in listening to or being pushed to accept and receive the culture of which we live in today that a lot of Christians are not willing to stand in this society. We need to still stand for that which we believe. Because if we don't, they're going to push it on us. We don't like we got to love the sinner, but we got to hate the sin. Amen. The believers here, Paul is telling us that we got to be able to stand in the society, whether he be present or whether he be absent from them. You still need to stand. You need to be able to stand in the society that we live in. But when we get into the world of the hostility and all of the things that we're confronted with, the world, how do we stand when we're not around other Christians? You may be the only Christian in the workplace. You may be the only Christian in your family. You may be the only Christian in your school. You may be the only Christian when you're going to school or in the military or in the grocery store or in whatever area. You may be the only Christian there. Well, how do you act? Do you let them just draw you in? Because if you're not careful, you will be drawn in. Because I believe he says, whether I come and see you or whether I be absent, you know what? You ought to still carry yourself in such a way that you're promoting the gospel. That's the kind of lifestyle. And I'm going to leave you with this one as we think about the service in which you stand. He says, striving together. In other words, if you are standing the way that you ought to and living for God the way that we ought to in such a way, that we ought to, that we're going to serve him in some capacity. You know, God wants us to serve him. And if you love him and you want to promote the gospel and he's working in your life the way you ought to, there ought to be some area that you ought to be wanting to serve God in. And there's always something that you can do that you can serve. And look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Notice what it says. And I entreat you also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement, also am with others, my fellow laborers who names are in the book of life. In other words, Paul is saying that there were those there that were laboring with him. In other words, striving together has the idea that we ought to be laboring together for the gospel of Christ. We ought to be serving God in some capacity. You know, I know one of the hardest things for us to do, when you think about the Christian life sometimes, you can work all week. We can go to school all week. We can do all the things that we do all week. And one of the hardest things is to come out on Saturday and go out on visitation. But it ought not be the only day that you go out visiting. You can go other days during the week. I know it's hard to do that on Saturday because Saturday, the weekend time is the only one that we have, a lot of us, to do anything outside of work because we work all week long. But you know what? You still ought to want to serve God in some capacity. It's worth that sacrifice. It's worth doing that when you think about all that he's done for us. Serving him, laboring together is what he's telling them that they ought to do. So our lifestyle, it ought to change to wanting to do that because he's saying those that labor with him. In other words, those people were laboring with Paul and they were true yoke fellows. They were yoked up together. These women which labored with me in the gospel, they were working together to get things accomplished and to get things done because of their new lifestyle in which they were to live. This is what Paul is talking about. These are some of the specifics that he's talking about. And not only do we see them that they were to be sanctified, in other words, to be set apart for what they were doing, they ought to have a stand in society, but they ought to be serving in some capacity. But notice not only that, but they ought to have a stout-heartedness in their standing. In other words, he's telling them, don't be terrified. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. We got to be stout-heartedness that he's talking about to stand. And nothing be terrified by what? Verse 28, he tells us, and nothing be terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation that unto God. In other words, Paul is saying here, the devil is going to do everything just like he did in his life to keep you from serving God. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. He says, and many brethren in the Lord wax confidence by my bonds, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For some indeed preach Christ, and even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. In other words, Paul was saying that the devil is going to do everything he can to you when you're going through life's crisis, or when you're in a circumstances, or you're in situations that will plague you and cause you to get discouraged. The devil will use those things to keep you from serving God. And he wanted to discourage Paul. But Paul says, whether I be in prison or it was something that with the gospel was still going forth, God was still working in his life. Even though he was in bonds, the gospel was still being preached. The gospel was still going forth because he wasn't letting those things discourage him. Paul was in prison and he's still witnessing to people. He was still witnessing to people. People were still getting saved. People's lives were still changing because of what he was doing. So we need to be just that way. And not let it get us down, because he didn't let it get him down. And you know what? Suffering is the last one in this lifestyle, because it's every one of us, we know the scripture very well. They that will live godly is going to do what? Going to suffer persecution. And I think one of the things that we miss out here that I want to point out tonight is for you to understand about this suffering here. Look at verse number 29. I think a lot of times when we read scripture, and there's so much stuff here that we could talk about tonight. But he says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to what? But ought to suffer for what? For his sake. Paul is being real. God is being real. It's also on our behalf to do what? To suffer for his sake. You know what, folks? He's worth it. And you know what? Not only do I believe that you need to hear that tonight, I need to hear that tonight. And sometimes we go through some rough times. We go through hard times in our weeks every day, day in and day out. Our health is failing. Our families are in a turmoil. The kids are not doing the things that you want them to do. Life seems so challenging in every area. But you know what? He says we suffer on what? For his sake. And you know what? Most of us don't think about it. Notice the phraseology that he uses here. He says, for unto you it is what? Given. We don't think about suffering as being a gift, do you? I think when you think about giving is something that somebody what? somebody gives you. And if somebody gives you something, it's a what? If you didn't have to work for it, it's a gift. And we don't think about suffering as being a gift. We think about, oh, it's the worst thing in the world. But it's given unto us. Ain't that what it says? It's given unto us to suffer. Boy, that ain't what I want to hear. But you know what? That's what I need to hear. And that's what I need to understand. Because this new lifestyle that we're living now, or Paul is propagating to them, it is needful for us to live the same way today. He says, only for his sake. I think about the Apostle Paul and what he was going through here in Philippians 3. Look at Philippians 3 and verse number 10. Notice what it says there in verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Suffering. His suffering. Not only is it given to me, but you know what? We're in fellowship with God according to this verse when we're suffering. It's part of our fellowship with him, that I might know him and understand what he went through for my sake. And you know what? It ought to help me to endure, because it is given to me, but it also brings me in fellowship with God. And according to the word of God, that's what it does. And that's what happens to us as Christians. I think about in Acts, and I'm gonna close with this. Acts, and think about Acts chapter 5 and verse 38. If you guys want to turn there quickly, and we want to end this tonight, notice what it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 38. I wanted to read this as we close tonight. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nigh. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him that they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and what? And beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They beat them anyway. But for Christ's sake, you know what? Notice what he says in this verse. And verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted what? Worthy to suffer shame for his name. Folks, this go beyond being on a basketball team or football team or some club. When you think about how we sometimes get sold out to being a part of something that has no lasting value to it, when you really think about it, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ought to count it a privilege, because it's given to us. It brings us into fellowship with him, but it also does something else. It gives us the privilege to suffer for his sake because of what he's done for us. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, let your conversation be as unto what? The gospel. Because people need to see the change. And suffering is part of standing for Christ in this new lifestyle that we're talking about. As we noted earlier, it ought to be a privilege, and it is, for us to suffer for Christ's sake. And he had confidence that what God was doing, as we see in verse 6, he was rejoicing in the trials that he was going through in verse 14. And he was confident that he wasn't going to go back and be with the Lord yet, because there were some things that God wanted to do. But he says, but this one thing I do, he says, only let your conversation be at the becoming the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul wanted to pass on to them. And that's what I hope is an encouragement to you tonight. When we think about all that we go through, everything that we do in regard to the Christian life is to promote the gospel. That's really what God wants us to do. And when we're going through things, it brings us into a different relationship with God. I think about it more and more as we think about, we walked it, seeing this family come and see how God is changing that family's life that came on Sunday, and see how all of them just got up at they got up at the end of the service and walked down front and wanted to get saved. I thank God that I don't even feel worthy to share the gospel, but I sure enjoy the excitement and the joy of seeing people come to know Christ the Savior. Because I believe when they walk in the doors and they see people that are really sold out and genuinely excited about serving God and love God, and can tell by the messages that there's something different here. And folks, he's worth it. And that's what Paul is trying to promote to these young Christians. You know what? And it doesn't get old. We still got to do the same thing. No matter how long we've been Christian, God is still requiring us to do what? To promote the gospel. That's what he left us here to do. And I prayed it tonight to be an encouragement to you when you think about the style now. We got to be different because he's worth it. Amen. So the lifestyle that Paul is talking about here, the conversation, is lifestyle, everyday life. Father, thank you again for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house, and how we thank you for your word and the truths that we find here, and the privilege that we have when it comes to suffering. And Paul knew that they were a lot of things and trials were ahead of them, but also the gospel still need to be promoted by those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to your purpose. And you have a purpose in everything that you allow us to go through. And may tonight's message be an encouragement to us to help us throughout the remainder of the week, that we come into a greater fellowship with you. And it's given to us to suffer because you promised us that all that will live godly will suffer persecution. And we do love you and praise you and thank you for all that you've done, what you're going to do. Bless us now as we depart. Bring us back at the appointed time, and we be careful and to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.